Welcome to the Sportsman Drag Racing Legends Podcast, brought to you by the Class Racing Podcast with Aaron and Chuck. I'm your host, Mike Delahanty, and I'll bring you stories and conversations with some of the true legends of stock, super stock, and modified sportsman drag racing. This podcast is sponsored by Race Tools Direct. Race Tools Direct was founded to be your choice for quality tools and products that have been carefully selected and thoroughly tested both at the track and the shop, by racers, for racers. To place an order, go to racetoolsdirect.com or call 440-941-8533. This is Season 1, Episode 3. In this episode, I'll talk with Dave and Ben Wenzel. While Dave and Ben had established themselves as winners on a regional basis by the mid-1960s, it was 4 months in the summer of 1967 that earned the brothers their national reputation as one of the hottest stock LeMay race teams with their win at the NHRA Nationals. In June, Ben took delivery of a new Z28 that he had ordered specifically to drag race in stock Eliminator. Throughout the summer of 1967, the car was raced locally as the brothers worked every week to make the car quicker and more competitive. By the end of August, David prepped the car to where it was running 1260s, making a contender for the B-stock class win at Indy. With Dave continuing to tweak the combination, Ben was quick enough to win B-stock class and qualified to run in stock Eliminator. On Monday, September 4th, 1967, Ben waded through a tough field to win stock Eliminator at the NHRA Nationals. More than 50 years later, the Wenzel brothers remain as one of the toughest cars to race in stock Eliminator. Along the way, Dave and Ben have pretty much won and done it all in stock Eliminator, with national and divisional wins and 7 division points championships. They earned a spot in the Jegs All-Star team several times and won the All-Star stock title in 2009. And that one owner, 1967 Z28, is still being wrenched by Dave and driven by Ben. I sat down with Dave and Ben in late February at Ben's home in mid-Michigan. One of the things I picked up doing a little research on, you guys come from a big family.
Well,
big family, right?
Yeah.
Eight brothers, 3 sisters, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you two guys fit in the lineup of all those kids?
I'm number 12.
Are you the, so you're almost the baby.
He's the baby.
I am.
There's one between us. So
brother or sister?
Year and a half younger than I am.
So you being the baby almost kind of explains a lot of your behavior, right?
Yeah, that's why I cry a lot.
Right. So, okay.
Turned 83 in January, you know.
So it's okay to talk about your age?
Oh, yeah. When I don't have no more age, I won't be here.
All right. So just, I mean, Dave, you're 83, right?
Yeah.
I'm 77.
That's amazing.
I'm still interested a little bit in it, you know.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the first questions I always ask is, what got you guys hooked on cars or mechanical stuff and racing?
I worked as a mechanic at a Els Chalmers dealership, but he started out as a car mechanic, and he still did cars in his later days, you know, even after I left. That's what it is. And I went to Edmore, had a 55 Chevy, and you raced on the grass in 1957.
And on the grass?
On the grass, yep.
Did it stay grass all day long, or was it dirt by the end of the day?
Well, it was dirt. It ended up, they move up, you know, because it would get dug up. That was the first week, wasn't bad, but people put snow tires on then, and then that's what ruined it, you know, because it dug holes, you know, from taking off, you know.
Right, so it was like dirt drags all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
This was before me, that's what I say, you know.
So how old were you then? Teenage, late teens?
No, I would have been 21,
okay.
22.
All right.
What, 15?
Did you go with him?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
That's what it started there, and I don't know.
It was my dad, actually, first time he raced his car before I ever went up there.
Yeah.
So your 55 was a 265 or a six-cylinder?
Yeah, 265.
Okay.
And at the time, I didn't even know that when you got an overdrive car, you got a 411 gear in it instead of the 373, see? Oh. So I didn't realize the advantage you had over most of the cars, you know.
Okay.
At the time. So that's just how things got started, you know.
So actually, I graduated in 60, and my dad had a 54 Chevy that got handed down from my oldest brother, actually.
Right.
My dad had, first new car was a 1960. And I don't know, I graduated in 60, and he had that 54, and I guess I just took it. I don't know, it was mine. I don't know, I went up there once and got beat with my 54 Chevy. That was a 1960. Yeah. And
six-cylinder stick?
Six-cylinder. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he put split manifold on it for me.
Noise, you know.
Oh, they sound good with a split manifold.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a hot rod shop in Saginaw that made that manifold and then had them pipes made for that.
1961, I got an apprenticeship in November of 60. And in 61, I was a car book guy. I looked at all the car books, and I knew people had 409s in 61.
Yep.
So I went, my local dealership was just up the road here, 25 miles.
Is that Martin Chevrolet?
No, that would have been Siler and Merrill.
Okay.
Siler Chevrolet. Martin was in Hemlock, 5 miles away.
Okay.
I went to Siler's. I wanted to get a 409. And, they don't make them. I know they did, because yeah. I got these magazines and stuff, and they had a 350 horse, 61 Chevy. And I said to myself, a 350 horse, 348, and a 360 horse, 409. I says, well, that ain't going to have a chance with a 350 horse, 348.
Yep.
Well, you couldn't get a 409. I says, well, I'm not going to get no 350 horse. So I got a 250 horse 348. And went up to Edmore four times, got two trophies, and got beat twice.
Still running on
with
the
stock,
dirt.
Just a snow.
Oh, okay, paved now.
They had black. I don't know when they put the black top in.
I remember what year.
Okay.
That was started with the ash. Actually, homemade airport.
Okay.
You know, and that's where they took off why that strip was there that long. Otherwise, there was no axle area around, you know, they'd run the whole quarter mile, you know, on the dirt.
Yeah,
but,
you know.
But you only went, what did I used to go, 70 mile an hour or 80 or something? But yeah. Well, when I went up there in 61, the car was really stock. I never had no gear, nothing,
yep.
Whatever it came with. 61 winter, we bought I got a 3 2-barrel carburetor set up for it, made it a 280 horse, and then we must have put a gear in it. I drove it to work every day and raced it every weekend, and that car was fast. I mean, it was fast. In 62, yeah. We got protested up there, Edmore. There was a guy from Grand Rapids, I don't know his name, was a tech guy.
Yep.
And he had a 280 horse 348, and he had M&H tires, he had headers. He told us it was balanced and whatever.
Right.
And that thing was nothing but a stock, bone-ass stock.
Never apart, you know.
Never apart.
The main thing was, on them cars with hydraulic lifters, if you didn't adjust the valves all the way to the top,
yep,
so they wouldn't float, then you could hold it right on the floor and shift and go. Otherwise, like, best Oldsmobiles were bad, too. They'd quit, you know, the lifters by not adjusting them out.
But anyway, we ran Edmore almost every weekend.
Okay.
Went to Onondaga, two or three times. Got beat by a 57 fuel injected convertible.
Right.
But years later, talking to Westcott Senior, they used to run there, and he had a 409 in his 60 Chevy. So I'm not so sure that this 57 Chevy didn't have a 327 in it.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. But anyway, we got this guy from Grand Rapids come up to Edmore, and I beat him bad. And his car was all set to go.
Yeah.
I think I had Atlas Bucrons on then. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
Atlas Bucrons.
Oh, yeah.
So the next week we went up there, and David come back and says we're protested or something. Cost him $30, and then they had a barn that was for airplanes, little
right.
ones.
Little hangar, yeah.
Had one little light up there. We took the head off, and I had traded with a guy that had a 348, 335, 460. And they had bigger exhaust pipes on.
Yeah.
Bigger exhaust pipe, bigger tailpipes. And we had traded exhaust systems. And I had the big exhaust systems on it with some homemade cutouts.
With a pipe cap, right?
Well, yeah, they were. No, these. Anyway, he thought I had a 350 horse in it with a hydraulic camshaft.
Right, okay.
Well, he was quite surprised when there was nothing wrong, nothing.
Well, there was nothing. Untook, because it had never been off or nothing.
Anyway, he said, you going to Indy. This guy did.
Right.
I said, I don't even know where Indy is. I was only 19 years old.
Right.
20. Anyway, I can remember the guy won class, F stock, at like 1520s.
Right.
And I was going 1470s every weekend. 14. But the track was different, but Indy is always as good as anything.
Sure.
But that's just the way it was. In 63, the winter of 62, we bought the high compression heads and pistons and made a 340 horse, got a aluminum intake from somebody and a carburetor, and made it a 340 horse. And I went to Indy. First time we went was in 63.
Okay.
And a friend of mine, matter of fact, he usually comes to Indy every year. He towed us with a tow bar.
So you guys were living large then, yeah. Right? You were really on it.
So we're going up and down 27 or whatever.
Yep.
It wasn't 69 then, I don't think. I don't know what
they
it was.
They didn't have them back then.
Up and down hills, and these trucks were on our ass. And I was scared, and we never tow barred other than up to Edmore. That's only 25 miles from where we live.
Right.
So I went there in 63, and I almost beat a guy by the name of Ronnie Broadhead.
Yes.
He had a 60 Pontiac 363 horse.
Right.
Points champion. He traveled around.
West Coast guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing of it was the first year of the Christmas tree.
That's right.
Yep, first year. First time.
And of course, learning something there that you don't wait for the green, you know.
The Christmas tree was here instead of here.
Okay.
You know, and apparently I picked up on that right away because I left on this Pontiac. He just barely beat me, and I was only going 14, 15, 10 or something.
Right.
And he was going 13, 50s.
Okay.
He remembered that. Because going ahead and back, after I won the Nationals, we went to Winter Nationals in 68.
Right.
And he came over and seen us. He never forgot that. But anyway, in 63, matter of fact, Shaker Engineering, Jim Stevens from Bay City, he had a 60 Chevy.
Yep.
You put that motor in that 60, it lost 20 horsepower just by changing.
The horsepower factor?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So he says, take my 60, because he had a race car. He had a race car, but that was in 63, and he had the 62. That's what Art Noe won B stock with a 62 380 horse, and he was running a 63 400 horse all summer, and Stevens told him, put that stuff in my 62, goes from 400 the 380, and that car was a rocket.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
For back then.
So did you have a Chevy too? You were racing?
No, I never. Okay.
So you were wrenching Ben's car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But back then he could drive it, I could drive it. It didn't matter.
We'd go to the races, and he'd make a time trial. I'd make a time trial. Yeah. You know,
with the 302. I mean, it's just it didn't matter. But in 63, he wanted me to take that 60, and I'm only 20 years old or something or whatever.
Yeah.
I ain't taking somebody else's car and towing it someplace, you know. So anyway, we got beat in 63, and in 64, I bought a 60, and some another pictures over there of me winning. We won 2 points meets in 64.
Right.
Muncie, Indiana, and Norwalk, Ohio.
Okay.
It was the only NHRA points meet at Norwalk that they ever had till they reopened. I don't know what year
right.
it was.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and he won that meet there.
Yeah, we were grand marshals. I think they called it that.
Yeah, at the first.
At the NHRA. First.
Oh, they came back to NHRA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was the only race they had, and he won that race.
You know? Okay, and that's over the 6348.
63 Chevy 348. Yeah, here's a. I just got a couple of pictures. Oh, that's right there, the Yearly Brothers. And that was friends of Gary Long.
Right, yeah, they ran Fords forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was friends. But anyway, I'm telling you, I had another picture someplace. And when we were on the starting line, there was about three or four NHRA officials watching my car. We weren't nobody. We was just regular racers. And it's funny. I couldn't do it today. I used to pre-stage or stage. I don't know if they had a pre-stage.
They didn't.
In 64.
They said the one ball up top.
Did they? They didn't have. Anyway, I would stage, take it out of gear,
back out.
Put the emergency brake on, push clutch back in, put it in first gear before a tree start coming down. And I was...
So you had basically a line lock.
I had a line lock.
Right.
And then I was actually letting the clutch out. I actually burnt the clutch out of it on the out of that car that weekend because I used to let it out so it was... ready to go.
Yeah.
And no reaction
so
time.
He had then.
Yeah. So left one hand on the thing. So in 65, I got, I had the fastest car in 64 at Indy till the final run, and a guy squeaked by me with another 348.
Okay.
So then 65, we went there. I got beat by Jerry Stahl with a fuel-injected 57 Chevy.
I remember the white car.
Yep, all white.
Yep.
In 66, bought a post car. That's over there in a picture someplace. 62 post car, like Denny Ford has.
Got it. 409 exactly. car?
Exactly.
Yep.
Dual quad 409.
Yep.
Ran that. Won the first... couple of meets at Tri-City Dragway. It used to be right over here.
Right.
Did you ever go there?
No, by the time I got to Michigan, that had been shut down.
And anyway, I won the first couple of meets, and then the red car came to town. Otis Rigsby and Wally Booth and Dick Aarons, and they went like 12-10, and I was going 12-40.
So that was a Chevelle 375 car?
No, that wasn't a Chevelle. That was a 62 post.
Okay.
Big car.
Okay.
409, dual quad 409. So before the 66 Nationals, took that drivetrain, I borrowed a 62 wagon from Ron Kendall, put all the drivetrain, we run C stock, I think.
Yeah.
With a 380 horse, 409. And it was pretty fast, I guess, but when I got to Indy, them Corvettes, I wasn't even in the same league, got beat by our Musser brothers
right
from out east.
From Pennsylvania, yep.
Yeah, so in winter of 67, I'm thinking about 66, I'm thinking about getting a 67 375 horse 396, because that's what the red car had.
Yep.
I don't just happen to be an A stock, I happen to be. Well, then before the winter was over, the Z28 came out, You should be buying that Z28.
Who was telling you that? Or was that stuff you picked up in the magazines?
Well, no. Shaker Engineering, Jim Stevens, and Ron Kendall. He was from Ithaca at that time. We was all friends.
Right.
We're all friends.
Home together, you know. All Chevrolet, you might so say. I don't know why. That's like they...
But Shaker had a bunch of cars that they kind of had, right?
Yeah. One guy in 66 that had a fast car was a 66 full-size 427 wagon.
Okay.
And he actually, I think our parlor held a record at different times. And we went to Tri-City the points meet. Shaker Engineering was helping him. Now, I show up with Shaker Engineering on this car.
Right.
And I guess he was mad. He didn't like it. We never went very fast right away. 1260s, and he's going 1250. But at the points meets back then, you had to win class to run Eliminator.
Mm-hmm.
I won one class at every points meet. I beat Corvette that was going way faster than me. The wagon was faster, but I just beat them all. But never win Eliminator because we never could run the record. Record was 1250, and we're going 60s all summer. From June, July, and August, 64 was the best. And the weekend before Indy in 67, we took this Anson bell housing out that weighed 700 pounds. I mean, it was cast.
Now, is this your 409 car or the 67?
I'm sorry, this is 67.
Okay, the 302.
Is the 302. But this Anson bell housing, you could hardly lift it. I mean, it was casted just huge. We put a Lakewood housing on it, her shifter in it, because I was running a stock shifter, and I don't know what else we did.
So let's back up. So when in 67 did you actually get the Z28?
June 6th.
So it was pretty late. You only had a couple months, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we ran the 409 in the spring of 67. I don't remember now, because the car didn't come until June 6th, and 2 or 3 weeks to get the heads milled. At that time, we were running a stock block.
You didn't even go through the short block?
Not right then.
Okay.
We did before Indy.
Okay.
Put a 30 over. But still, like I say, 1264, I think, was the fastest it ever went.
And the first truck, of course, took that weight out of the car, which was 100-some pounds heavy, you know, so time that bell housing.
That bell housing, oh my God. If you ever seen one, it was casted, but it was just
massive. Thick.
Oh my God. And then you had to get out of the car, weigh on the scales. That's the best thing. That's one of the best things they ever did.
The 170 pound rule?
170 pounds.
Yeah, you know, because you had to have a certain car for the class. Otherwise, now your car fits the class because you can take it down to the minimum weight. You know, or at the time back then, I'd go 400 or 500 quicker than he would because I was 60 pounds.
They weighed the car.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I was at a disadvantage even in super stock in later years, and we still ran right with the best of them. Anyway,
so think about it. From June to September, you guys thrashed pretty heavy on that Camaro to get it ready, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, going through the motor and stuff?
Yeah. He actually probably was, I don't know if you were on second shift. No, you worked at Reinhardt's then.
Yeah.
In 67. So, I mean, I was a parts washer all my life. I mean, he was a mechanic.
Actually, at Jim Stevens, which was an engineer in Bay City, he
Shaker
did the head.
Right?
They did the heads on it.
So, Stevens did that. You did a short block, Dave?
Yeah. And then he done the...
That was the only motor we ever had anybody else do. Because he was a racing guru and he knew it all, see?
Yeah. So he went to them, you know.
Yeah.
So...
But he did good, like I said. That,
he gave us IDs, you know, like what stuff you went by. You got a sheet, you know, or whatever it was, told you what you could do, you know, how far under, deck height, and CCs in the head. And boy, even back then, they never even did thought about runners and stuff. You never did nothing with that, you know. There was no specs, you know, for runners in them.
Right. So yeah. Before you went to Indy, did you guys have a feel like, hey, this car we're taking is going to be pretty darn competitive? Or it was just like, we're just going to Indy again?
Well, them guys, Stevens and he's, as a matter of fact, Dick Aarons told me through the summer, one time or other there, they used to come to Tri-City.
Yep.
He said, 1250 will win B stock at Indy. I'm going 1260s. 1250 will win it. I won it with a 1254.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in...
won the class.
Won class.
And then, whatever you win, he'd win a... And you was allowed to go a 10th under.
Right.
You ended up going a 43 in class.
Yeah.
So then you had to run off of that 43, which you could go 33. So that's what he ended up in the final. He went that 1233, you know.
1/10 under, and I don't know where that 33 ever came from, because we went to Indy, the first pass was 57, and David kept tweaking on stumping, I don't know, and just kept going. But from class eliminations day to eliminator day, it went a whole 10th quicker. And I mean, all changes was air in the carburetor.
And maybe more rubber down on the track?
Yeah.
There you have 7-inch tires, you know. And they were M&H.
M&H.
What's weird is everybody, and we had had 15-inch wheels on, but apparently with the 14-inch and the smaller, made the gear ratio right for the car at that.
Because that was a 220 box?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. See, we never even knew. I could have... In fact, I think I might have bought an extra transmission. Could have bought a 254,
right.
252, or whatever they was.
Right.
We went with the 220 changing synchronizers all the time because when you crash shifted them, it boogered them things over. You know, just.
And David, you were the guy on the transmission, right? You were under the car, right?
Yeah.
He used to do it all. I mean, honest.
And on the bell housing, then once we got the Lakewood bell housing, it had a little cover on there.
Yeah.
And you could take that off, and we put shims between the
pressure plate,
pressure plate. And the thing. And then you could hear it, you know, when you'd put in the high gear, it didn't go right, you'd take out 10,000ths, you know, out of them shims underneath.
It's crazy.
You know, just stuff.
Early days of slipper clutches, right?
Diaphragm clutches. Didn't have no slipper clutches, whatever you had. Well, whatever we had, I should say.
Right. So the 67 thing was a pretty big deal. I mean, did you really know what you did at that point?
I knew. I actually didn't know in eliminate. Okay, when I won class, I was clearly way ahead of the other guy.
Right.
But his wind light came on. I didn't know this. When I pulled off the other end, they gave me the wind slip.
Yep.
But he actually got the wind light, but they gave me the wind.
Right.
That was in class. In Eliminator, when I pulled off, I asked him who won.
It was that tight.
Because I was sleeping and he was on time and I was a 10th under. He was 100th over, and I...
That was it, huh? Did you know when you left, did you know you were late?
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Okay, that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
13-something car, and he was a 12.
Yeah, 1370s.
Ken Gunning, right?
Ken Running. Ken Gunning.
Right, Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
And
so, that, like I said, and every run I made at Indy, fan belt flipped off. Every run. And once you flip a fan belt, they're not going to stay in the groove until we learn later that a different Gates belt or I'm not even sure.
It had the cords in the inside.
Yeah.
You know, and down right, in made the a bottom. Racing belt. You know, then that was
okay.
A different story then, you know. Then they ended up putting a bigger alternator pulley on too. And that that was the one. That was a long bell on that, because that alternator was,
yeah, it was hung out there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were buzzing the motor pretty high, right?
Probably 7,000 then. Yep. I think I shifted at 7. And I don't know what it went through the traps. I don't have a clue.
Okay. So, I mean, I remember, you know, when you won Indy, you guys won Indy.
How old are you?
65. So I was a teenager at that time.
Okay, sure.
And I remember every car magazine ad, it seemed like, for 2 years,
yeah,
had a picture of Ben Wenzel, yeah, in an Indy with a Hurst shifter. With
Lakewood houses.
Lakewood house, Schaefer, whatever.
Yeah.
And OK Custom Headers.
OK Custom Headers.
Every, you were in more ads,
yeah,
forever, it seemed like.
You know, and it's amazing because, I mean, I haven't won Indy in 53 years. In very few, and Kevin Helms won it 2-3 times. And, you know, of course, I know Kevin's good, and there's a lot of people, but they don't even mention their names, period. I mean, they won Indy. Kathy Tompa used to say, "I'm so sick of hearing your name on the PA." We used to park together, Tompa and Jerry Nagel.
So, I mean, do you think the fact that it was brand new car, 67 Camaro, you know, and something stuck forever.
Something stuck, and you know what I think, in the last 30 years, that we're still racing the same car.
Yeah.
I'm sure that has so much to do with that. I mean, we've won, when I say, I don't say me, I say we.
Right. And your name, I got to stop for it. It's always Dave and Ben Wenzel.
Yeah. I don't know why it was put down there.
So
did
why
that, what? Did that on my 61 Chevy.
And it's also, Dave was always first, huh?
Yeah. And, no, I forgot what I was going to say.
And I mean, it's kind of cool because it always is. It's Dave and Ben. It's not, yeah, Ben. It's Dave and Ben.
We had times where I drove the car. He was in the reserves. Yep. And I went over there, and I'd drive it and win the class. Then he'd come and run it for Eliminator.
Tag off, right?
Win.
Yeah.
And,
there was a guy I could not beat. This was Billy Robinson. He lives in Florida now. He might even, I don't know if he's alive. But he had he used to come over and look at our car. Pretty soon he shows up with a 67 302.
Okay.
And then pretty soon he's creeping up. Pretty soon he's going faster than we are. So I could not beat that guy. I'd either leave late, red light, miss a gear, do something. I was in reserves 1 weekend a month.
Right.
And I'm coming out to the track. We get out at
Tri-City, right?
Right, Tri-City, yep. Dragway. Right. Like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm heading for the track. So I know David was out there. And I see this wrecker. He used to haul up his 567 with a wrecker.
Yeah.
I don't know if he hauled with the back end up in the air, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the, you know, the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes a wrecker, and that's Billy Robson. I stop. What happened to you? He says, "Your brother beat me." he whipped his ass, and I got over there. Eliminator was going to start. I says, "You go ahead and drive." He says, "I did my job, so I went one Eliminator."
He was in the reserves, and they had the popular hot rod meet. And I don't know why, there was like 5 cars in the class.
Right.
Yeah.
And I beat the first guy, whatever it was. I think I had low ET in the class by 100. And this Garber Pontiac had
two of them.
They had a Firebird,
yep,
and run the same class. They won the popular hot rod meet the year before. Well, when I think it was the second round or whatever, I raced them, and when we left, he red lighted, and when I went into third gear, I was right with, like we left together, you know.
Right.
But he had red lighted, you know, and so instead of running out, I just let off from, you know, coast. I already won, you know. And so then I ended up the next day, went to start the car, and the car wouldn't roll over. So I took the plugs out, and the water come out of one cylinder. So I just cranked it over, put plugs in, started it up. I ended up being runner-up.
to Art Austin.
Oh, Art Austin. Max Wedge car.
I missed the third gear on that final round, you know. But God, the guys I raced, like Royal Pontiac, was one of them with a Pontiac. I beat them guys so bad, you know. It was weird, you know. And that was really the only race I really... I run it at Tri-City and
Mike Mintz. Mike Mintz, you passed him and then let up and let him beat you.
Yeah. Oh. He spotted me, you know.
Right.
And I'm out here. I was out there so far. Once you let off the gas, dude, he just nosed me out at the finish line, you know. I couldn't have went more than the 10th and whatever the record was. All we ran, you normally ran just about right on the record, you know, like, so. Yeah,
after Indy, the car was fast all the time, but.
So, when you won Indy, any Chevrolet contact, anything from Chevrolet? Nothing? Nothing.
Okay. Not a thing.
Because Grumpy won. His car
was I was the first one to win with a new car.
Right. Right.
And I'm sure Grumpy probably had checks in the mail for him.
Okay.
But he was famous before we were.
Right.
You know.
Right. But now, all those, your car and all those ads, I mean, did that help you out, guys, from product? I mean, did
some manufacturers... I got free stuff, you mean, from
the
ads?
Yeah, from the manufacturers. You know, like, you won Indy. We're going to help you out next year.
It did with the 69. I got wheels from Krager.
Okay.
Headers from Hooker. Got two different pressure plates and clutches from Schaefer,
mm-hmm.
but no tires. I don't, not, you know, back then, headers were probably...
Not Valvoline oil free.
Oh, yeah, Valvoline and oil.
STP. Ended up Holly had a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up getting extra carburetor, you know, which was Holly carburetor.
It was called the Holly's Winner's Circle. And that was in, I don't know if that started in 68 or it started in 69, because, no, I know, at Indy, one of the things I won was a carburetor for my 302.
Yep.
Got a new carburetor. Well, then, it might have been 68 or 69, because I had a 69 427.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a car, $500 worth of parts for the whole year. I mean, I have a, you know, a bucket of jets. We used to change jets all the time, and mm-hmm. just spark plugs from Autolite, and $500 worth of stuff.
That was a lot back then.
That was a lot. Got that 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. So I know I got the carburetor from a 67. Then I end up getting, or I got another 3910. Then I got a 3911, which was a California carburetor.
Right. It had a big snozzle on the plate, on the bottom plate of the carburetor for the emission
PCV,
pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, like I said, you got $500 worth, $1,000 worth of stuff there. But from Chevrolet, nothing.
Did they know? You got a block from Martin Chevrolet.
Oh, yeah, from Martin Chevrolet.
Okay.
Not a short block, just the block.
Bare block.
Yeah.
That was stupid, too, because I think the block was $100, brand new mm-hmm. or less. I don't even remember. But my short in 67, the pistons were different than a 68 and 69. So I get this short, this block, and it had a set of 67 pistons in it. And I was honest, Ben, honest me, I said, I don't need the pistons. I just want the block.
Right.
So they sent that back. I got another new block. And it sat in a box out in one of my places I lived at for years, for a couple of years. David, I know something happened to a motor. You got that block out to use. It was a stock bore block.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 68.
It was a big journal crankshaft.
So I didn't even get a correct block. I sold that block here back 10 years ago for pretty good money.
Yeah.
Brand spanking new in the box. But the pistons, I could...
Pistons were spoke well, or a better design, 68.9 than 67 was. supposedly it's supposed to be the same amount of dome, but in 68-9 the pistons have a valve relief in the dome, where on 67 they didn't.
Okay.
You could use an extended plug in the 67 motor, you know.
So okay, so Indy Champ, you rode that for a while. So 69 you got a Copo 427 car.
68 we went to the Winter Nationals. 68 went to Pomona, me and David and his family actually.
Yeah.
And then
you made the drive to California.
Yeah.
And didn't you have like a Caprice tow car or something like that?
In 67, 8, 9, 70, I had a 67 Impala convertible, 396, 325 horse. Nice tow car.
You towed all the way?
California back.
In a convertible?
Yep.
Okay.
Him and his family had the top down more than I did when I had it. When I'd go to reserves for 2 weeks in the summer, he used my car.
Because you went with his car there where the reserves was, so he'd take him there and then
I had a 140,000 miles on that car, and then I got a 71 Caprice. I knew more than Chevrolet. 454, I thought that'd be a nice tow car again.
Right.
Well, that car had like a 256 rear end in it or 270 something in it. Yeah, I lived 30 miles from work.
Right.
Well, first time we went, I think it was probably going to Columbus or someplace out on 75 and tow 65 or whatever, and look in the mirror, nothing but a cloud of smoke back there. It was boiling the transmission oil out of it because it had such a high gear in it.
Yep.
That 67 must have had a 323 in it or something.
We got the lowest rear end you could get in the 67 was a 323. That was just right for towing, really.
Yeah. If I'd have did that with that Caprice, that would have been a really nice
454, see.
Yep.
But, no, and then went from that and then kind of quit right well.
So what, you only ran the 427 car a little bit, right?
Yeah. We tried. Wally Booth, I went to the Spring Nationals, Dallas, Texas, me and a buddy. And Wally Booth was feuding with Dick Aarons. Wally Booth had a Dodge Super,
the green
Hemi,
one.
Yep, the green one.
Right.
Dick Aarons had the 69 Camaro. Wally says, you buy one of them 69 cars, I'll build a motor for you. It cost me parts and stuff.
Right.
Well, I think he worked for Diamond Engines then, Diamond Racing Engine. By the time he got, I didn't get that car till July, wasn't it? I think it was just in July. Went and bought it off the showroom.
Is that a Berger car?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the week before Indy, I run it for the first time, the weekend before. And Wally told me, he says, when you get clutches, get the weakest one Schaefer makes. I let the clutch out, car wouldn't hardly move. Slipped so bad. So put a different clutch in it. In the first run, I blew the clutch disc off the disc. So that ended that day. I mean, basically, then we went to Indy, and that was kind of a joke in a way.
So, like, again, you've got a car like that, and you're putting bigger tires on, you got a 220 first gear.
Yeah, well, 220 first gear,
It's like starting in third gear in your car today,
right? Oh, yeah. Well, I got a 210 second. I had a 220 first, and I got a 210 second. I don't know, what is it? A 330... Well, I sold you, I think, a 280 first gear, I think.
That's right, a Doug Nash box.
Yep. Actually, I had a different, let's see. Oh, then I went to GER. I bought this stuff from Gary Tampa. It was called GER, just like a
Nash.
I got Jericho's. Just like the Jericho's, the cluster, you could put each gear on.
Yep.
Same thing. Well, I had some gears made at work on a wire EDM.
Yep.
Guy ran a wire EDM to put a lower first gear in there. That's when we started really going to low first gears. I think 319 was the lowest that I made for that stuff. I sold all that stuff to Phil Lacey.
Yeah.
Okay. Go Lazy yeah, Dan.
Convertible.
Yep.
Yep.
And then I bought my first Jericho.
All right. So you ran the 427 for a car for a while, and then kind of that.
Yeah.
Put that aside.
Actually, you might as well say in '69. I don't even know. We probably tried something at Indy or Tri-City. And then the next year.
70?
We've been 70. Guy from Bay City had a it would be the guy's Shaker Engineering.
Yep.
A 400 turbo. I traded him a transmission and stuff. We did some Charlie and trading. Put an automatic in it for about two or three weekends, and that's all the automatics I ever wanted right there.
Well, I actually screwed up because that guy with the 427 won.
Ed Hedrick.
Ed Hedrick.
Yeah.
Won with a 427, you know, with an automatic. So he got the car. He was using a Vatar converter.
Right.
Got that converter, but instead of having the 4,500 stall speed, it had a 2,000, and you couldn't hold it on the line. It twisted the brakes and stuff off of it.
I called Vitar, and they said, well, put heavier brakes on it. So we put heavier cylinders on the brake.
Yep.
Well, So Dean Nicopoulos used to come up here and go fast all the time. And I tried neutral starting with a one time. Of course, I was probably 3 minutes late and everything else. And that's all the automatic, so yeah. And then we put a 302 in it and tried to run it as a F-stocker, and it wasn't fast enough.
In fact, Bill Owens ended up with that transmission and converter somehow, and he sent the converter back, and they actually fixed it then, okay. You know, for him. So that was all.
That's what I
might have been a different story.
I mean, you guys with your automatics, you got a pretty good idea of what you want now.
Right.
When I called Vitar, they should have knew what I wanted. I'm not saying they had to give me they should have. Whatever Ed Hedrick had, that's should have been.
When you had the 427 car, the 67 green turquoise guys got parked.
Well, we were trying to run them both, and that one suffered.
Matter of fact, we put a 302 in the 67.
So you had two 302s, right?
Because what happened, Pisa or whatever it was.
Tony Pisa.
Yeah, if the 67 set that record at 1070, not 1070. Well,
probably 1170.
1170 something.
Right, that car's in Philadelphia. I remember that car. Yeah.
Okay. In the Cobra Jets, were 335 horse, and we ended up with 330 horse in the 302. Being it was lighter, we run the same class, and they were a minute faster, you know. Yeah. And so we put the 302 in the 69 car because it run a class lower, you know.
Yeah. Right.
The heavier car.
So.
Yeah, and that never worked out real well either. So. So like I said, we tried some things with the 69. Bortman had it for a year, put a 350 automatic in it. Matter of fact,
at Bowling Green.
Lexington.
Oh, yeah.
Lexington, yeah. Kentucky. I was doing pretty good in the points in 70, and Bortman, I think, ended up winning the points. Jack Marks.
Yep.
Run an Oldsmobile.
Right.
He was there with his stick car. I was there with mine. Dave Bortman was there with my Judy, who drove the 69. Dave had his yellow
big car.
Biscayne.
Right, the big car.
And Dave come to me and says, do you care if Jack Marks drives the 69 car because he blew the motor up in his Oldsmobile?
Yep.
I said, I don't care. It's your motor and stuff. He ended up winning the points for me. Never drove the car before. So I made some money because we got money. He got some money. Dave got some money. I got some money. So I should have bought that 69 car and left it in my garage. Should have did that. But
Bortman wanted to give us a good deal on the motor and transmission, but he had got all that stuff for nothing. Didn't figure he deserved what he wanted. Yeah. You know, he tried to Jew him down. He wouldn't do nothing, you know.
I think I drove that car once at Tri-City with the 350 automatic.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know what to do either, really, you know.
70? Then 70, let's see, in 72.
72, they went to super stock.
They changed the rules around.
Yeah, that's when they had pure stock.
Right.
And then 72.
Super stock J car, right?
Super stock J.
75 horse, 327.
And it ran fair, went to Lapeer Dragway, ground up a camshaft over there, and ruined something.
Right.
And went to Indy and got beat by Tom Elk. And we didn't know nothing about cotton. Well, David didn't know nothing about quadra jets and trying to figure this out and that out. And I didn't know nothing about nothing.
We didn't know that what happens, they have that big opening for vent, but when you leave the line, gas would come right up and you could see where it was on the hood, suck it in the carburetor and kill the motor. Well, they made them gaskets.
Yep.
And pieces to put in there with them push rods so that gas couldn't go up there. Well, after a year we figured that out, you know, then we were, he was about the fastest car. Yeah. So
in 63 I was the fastest till the Bowling Green points meet, and I think Tom Elk put a 427 in his car. I don't know.
He never was as fast as we was. All of a sudden, he was faster.
Yeah. I beat him at Indian, went points meet 2 weeks later, and he went like, I don't know, a tenth quicker than I did or something. Just, and he'd been running all summer, but that's the way it is. Yeah, in fact, in 73... me and Tom Elk was running Super Stock J, running pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Tom and I said, "You're going to go to Englishtown?" He says, "Why?" I said, "Well, because we're here and we run the same. If you're going to go, I'm not going to go." He said, "Well, I was going to beat you anyway." That's what he said. We weren't married then, me and Lana. I said, "Lana, we're going to Englishtown." So I went up there and beat him. Well, it was him and another Chevy 2, like he had. I mean, I beat him out there, and then I beat him at Indy for class. And then, like I say, at the last points meet, I was in the hunt, and I think I ran him like in a second or third round. He beat me bad. I mean, but it's really funny about that 327. We was running about the same for a while. I took the carburetor down Dick Aaron's, and he was tweaking on it. He says, "Ben, I got the camshaft for you." He says, "I got this roller over here and the lifters and all that." So I guarantee you, I think he said, "I guarantee you like 0.2". I says, "How can you guarantee me anything?"
Right.
Anything.
Right. Yeah, your stuff was good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I says, "I can't afford that stuff. Camshaft, roller lifters." And I don't know if I bought the rocker arms too at that time. I don't remember. And Combiner's hit car went, I was going like 11.50s.
Yeah.
And I went 11, went to point Indy points meet, I went 11.30.
Wow.
I mean, and that's when everybody used to sit up in the stands and write down the EPs because they didn't have it up there on the boards.
Yep, you had to listen.
Yeah, and she did, Lana did it too, and Mrs. Elk was up there and they just both fell out of the seats, and I went quite a bit faster than Elk. So Dick Aarons did me right there, but that was in 73 and 74. And matter of fact, on that Rockin' Ginny running, he won stock over here, and I won super stock.
Okay, Tri-City?
Now he's running stock, super stock, and I'm running stock. Yeah.
So one of the things I found looking through this stuff last night, you guys took some time off.
Yeah, basically. I bracket raced a little. He was on second shift. I got married. And I didn't have a competitive car. I almost made a 68 out of that car. Came real close to thinking about it. And then Bill Felker we was going to trade cars. He had a super stock H automatic or something.
3396 car, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And something, finally I came to my senses and didn't do that. And like I said, I went up and bracket raced.
Central?
Yep, up to Central and a few times. And then pretty soon, about a 10-year swipe went by there and the rules changed a little bit. We talked it over about going back into stock.
had stopped, you know, again.
Matter of fact, Kent Hanley was running a 302 at that time.
That's right.
And we thought, you know what, this car is a Z28. We're going to go back in the stock Eliminator. We're going to run a 302 in it like it's supposed to have. So in 85.
So you sat out, like, 10 years about?
Yeah, other than a brack. I drove Gary Tompa's car most of 81.
Okay.
His Super Stock L, too. Yep, Super Stock L.
Yep.
We ended up going to, I mean, I won a bracket race up here in the fall of 80 with his car.
Yep.
He came home from Indy. He got beat by Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me, and he had told me when I was up there bracket race one time, he come from the Poplar Hot Rod meet and gotten beat. Ben, you should be driving my car. I says, you're crazy. Well, why? What's the matter with you? You know, you've been driving this car forever. And so I never really thought a great deal about it. And I used to bowl on a league and come home, and Lana says, Gary called you. So I called him, and this was after Indy. He said, Ben, you ready to drive my car? So anyway, I went over to his place, and he had a piece of wooden block on his clutch pedal about because he's short.
Yep.
You know, and I got in the car, and that didn't fit, and this didn't fit. And so he took that off and changed this, and I don't know what he changed.
Just slide the seat back?
Probably. And so we get all the changes, and we'll go up to Central. I'm nervous. Here, I got a car here that's a pretty nice car, pretty fast car. And I get in there, and I make a run. I hit her for that wall, and then I hit her for that wall, you know. And he's probably pulled his hair. So, and I got beat first run bracket racing.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks later, we go back up again to a bracket. No. Yeah, I think it was a bracket race. I mean, I drove the car. I felt a lot better.
Yeah.
And I win that bracket race. I mean, I just... It was $1,200 back in 81.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, a couple weeks later, they got another bracket race up there or some kind. So we go back up there, and I'm in the final, and I come out of fourth gear. I wasn't holding in fourth gear, and I came out in the final. I'd have won two of them sucking things. And he was pretty happy. Boy, if you drive like that, we're going to have some fun next year.
Yeah, right.
So we started out at Gainesville. Went to Olana, went to Bowling Green, Sports Nationals. I couldn't win a round. You know, I was breaking out by a thousandth,
yeah,
or a hundredth, or leaving late. So he fired me before Indy. He fired me before the Nationals. He released me of my contract. But yeah, I drove his car most of 81. Did a lot of travel. That was 81. 82, 3, 4, 5, we didn't do much.
Yeah, we were doing some experimental with what's what they do in super stock. Like, he made a thing where it could gas port them pistons around, you know.
I made a bracket at work, fit right over my pistons, and I drilled holes in there. We tried that. Like I said, we tried a couple things, just bracket racing. Then finally in 85, we decided to go back to stock Eliminator, and I've been there ever since. won some crazy things at the Sports Nationals, and I don't even know what year it's got a picture in there. I won the coolest car award when Rich Bowers came over and told me. I says, man, there's so many cars here that's pretty. I mean, it's painted.
Right.
They're beautiful. He said, it ain't about that. You just got the coolest car here. It's voted on by maybe all officials. I have no clue how it ever happened.
And part of that was because you had it forever, bought it
new, there again,
won Indy,
there again.
On and on.
Okay. And then also one year at Indy, I don't know what year it is, I got it all down. David was by the motorhome, I was gone someplace, and somebody come around that wanted to talk to me or something. Anyway, we won $1,000 for having a Essence of Drag Racing or something, or Drag Racing Essence, whatever that means.
You know, talk yeah. there.
So we'll have to get our picture taken, and like I said, I won some cool things. Plus, I just won a points man. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's weird because the car, he never had no problems winning that points meet this last year, you know. Went to Bowling Green and it broke one of them Schubeck lifters and that disintegrated the motor, you know.
Hurt the motor pretty good. Pistons just gouged them up, took the camshaft off, and had the blocks honed out now. Pistons are ordered.
But those lifters, you drop break one of them, it's like drop a grenade in the motor, isn't it?
Apparently, because yeah. another thing, I just put the pan on here a couple days ago.
Well, he went to over here to Tri-City every week, you know.
Every week.
And that's Frank Burrell.
Yep.
He used to do roll bars and stuff.
He put our first roll bar in
it. So it happened. He was off that week for a couple weeks while he was putting the roll bar in. They had a feud at the strip over there. They had 2 weeks where everybody paid to get in, but it got rained out for the finals eliminator, random eliminator.
Right.
So they come, they know nobody got anything. They paid, you know, to race, but nobody got no
payout.
No payout, you know. So
I wasn't there. Thank goodness I wasn't over there that weekend. That was bracket racing time now. Now all the NHRA stuff yeah. was done. Like I said, I beat them all. I beat them all. I used to have fun over there. No reaction timers. You know, one night I'm racing Gary Tompa. He had a 66 four-door, 283 four-speed, super stock OP yep. or whatever. And it happened to me the very first Sunday I was home from winning Indy. I used to blink the lights. And the light turned, come on, and mine turned red. Very first Sunday, I got beat in class over there by one of them Pontiacs. So I knew that at Tri-City, when I blinked
right
the lights,
lane, that's it.
I don't know if it was right or left,
yeah.
but I jumped it in a little bit more. Well, I was racing Gary Tompa one night, and he blinked the lights, and his red light come on when they flipped the switch. I went on down. I didn't know none of this was going on. I go down through there and get the win. I come back, see what happened up to the starting line? No, not really. Gary Tompa got out, locked his doors, went up to the tower, and he ripped the, Bill McKenna, ripped the watch off his arm. Gary Tompa's this big, and Bill yeah. McKenna is this big. I mean, he was a big guy. And nothing happened, but he got banded from Tri-City Dragway. He used to go to Martin every weekend, 150 miles.
Right.
150 miles. He was a hothead. Gary Tompa was a hothead.
Yeah.
And he had calmed down a lot over the years, but yeah, that was a real episode. So, like I said, I knew what happened to him, and it never happened to me again there.
I call this the million-dollar question, because that's maybe a million-dollar car.
It's for sale.
Is it?
For $1 million.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So, has anyone come to you to buy that thing?
Yeah. A lot of people say, I'll give you the window sticker price. Then the only people that come, there ain't nobody come up and say, I'll give you 50 grand for it, or, you know, or anything. I'll give you that window
sticker. But it's got to be.
You know, like, and I see $1 million. How much is $1 million? How much is $1 million? I don't, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth that? No. But with these new, these ZL1s, I could have bought one of them too when I bought my 69 for $3,500, $3,325. And Berger Jr. took me, he says, you want this one? ZL1, right. $7,200. Hell, I couldn't afford this one here and I still bought it. But, and I would have, in a sense, ruined it, in a sense, because we'd been running against Jenkins,
right,
you know, at that time, and to spend another $3,500 on this car, I didn't spend that much on the motor to try to get this one, you know. But what I should have did with this first car was put it in the garage. Put it in the garage and just drove it. I mean, only drove it around the block a couple times. Had like 30-some miles on it when I picked it up, and I traded it home and had 45 on it, or 48 or something on the speedometer.
So did you ever figure out or guesstimate how many runs are on that 67 car?
No, a lot of people ask me that, and I think years ago I used to make 100 runs a year. You know, you take 50 years, that's 5,000 miles. But some of the years I've had, recent years, was 75 runs, and then I went them years that we never hardly raced. So they've been hard miles. They've been tough miles.
Only driving on weekends.
5,000 to California and back, bouncing up and down on the trailer. Twice, three times.
Yeah.
Winter, five times. 68, 69 Winter Nationals, 70 Super Nationals. Me and Lana went in 01 and 05.
Okay.
So there's 25,000 right there.
So,
yeah. It's. What was $1 million question now? How many miles?
No, I mean that car.
What's it worth?
Yeah.
What's it? You know.
To you guys, it's priceless. Agreed.
It is. You know, and would I miss it? Yeah, but I would miss being 25 years old too. So I'm not that no more, and. Everybody knows your days are numbered. This might be the last, you know.
Yep.
It's fun being there, and it's fun being here. In between there, it ain't so much fun no more.
Right.
We're in a bad place here for really any of the races. We got 300-mile trip, 100 to the border. You got 150 miles, 300-mile round trip. Every race you go, you know.
Other than the Central.
Just to escape Michigan.
Yeah. You live in Novi, near Novi?
Right, so I got an hour to get to the border.
Sure.
And oh, I drove an hour and a half to get here, so.
Sure.
You got a lot of time.
Yep.
Just to get.
Oh, yeah. So, yep. like I said, it's fun here and fun there, and it's. Yeah, that's the name of the game, but I've been beat by a lot of 005 lights. And one with not 005 lights.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dave and Ben. The brothers are getting that familiar turquoise Z28 ready for another season of racing, and I look forward to seeing them at the track again. Please be sure to tell your friends about the Class Racing Podcast, and we invite you to like this and post your comments about this podcast along with what you'd like to hear in future episodes.